Kristen, and thank you for joining us today at Business Spotlight Series. Today, I'm excited to introduce Carsten Stern, founder and CEO of Sobremesa Wine Bar. Welcome, Carsten.
Hola, Javier. Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be for this opportunity.
Yes.
And my name is Carsten, and I'm from Europe, a bit like Javier. I'm from Denmark. Been working in England for the last 30 years, and been running a payroll company, and being a programmer, and various kind of thing. And a couple of years ago, I sold the business, and we were thinking of something new to do, and we decided we'll do something we loved. And we love Spain, funny enough, when Xavier is here.
Thank you.
And we love the whole Spanish culture thing. So we opened a Spanish wine bar in the Northeast, in a place called Heaton, which is near Newcastle upon Tyne. And the whole concept of the bar is to create a little bit of Spain in the Northeast of England here. So you all been on holiday. And you know, when you get a glass of wine within 22 seconds, there's some peanuts or some olives, etc., etc. But that whole concept of belonging to the place, like an oasis in the middle of the town, yeah, was the concept. And so far, it's been very successful. Although the aim was just to create the hub, yeah, and if it was financially successful, that was a bonus. But I'm happy to say it is. And the other thing here, because the involvement with the Spanish community, so we for instance do on Sundays, we do Spanish lessons, which is completely oversubscribed. So that seems to be a success as well. And most recently, we introduced what we call the Spanglish Night, where we invite all the Spanish people in the area to come around and speak Spanish. And a lot of English people come around as well, yeah, because they want to practice their Spanish here. So it's been open now a year. It's gone rather fantastic. It is something we enjoy tremendously. We're lucky in that way when the whole world talk about purpose there, that it looks like we found our place in the world, yeah, because we really, my wife and myself, really enjoy that tremendously. And is it luck? I don't know, but we're very lucky to have some fantastic customers coming around and enjoy our little paradise.
That's brilliant. So, Carsten, when you were growing up, is this something you always wanted to do? How did you end up with the concept of the wine bar?
I mean, when I was a kid, yeah, I wanted to be a football player. And my claim to fame is that I played against Jan Molby in Liverpool. And I played with the same team as somebody called Bjørn Christensen, who played for Newcastle United. But in a very young age, yeah, I start liking wine. Not thinking about a wine bar, I just like good wine. Yeah. And the whole concept of tasting them, the different districts, the different grapes, different countries, the old nation versus the new nations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So wine has probably always been in my blood for a long time. And in Denmark, you take a very long time to do your education. So we were traveling a lot until we were 25, and then we all panicked. And then I got a degree in programming, and some friends got something else, yeah. But at the time in Denmark, there was no jobs in development or programming. So I moved to England to find a job. And funny enough, I had to survive over there because the English government wouldn't give me the money that was transferred from Denmark. Yeah, so I ran an American diner bar near Regent's Park called Chester's Diner Bar. And again, I liked the buzz about hospitality sector. Yeah, not the most well-paid job in the world. Yeah, but it's good fun. There's interaction. Yeah, you make friends. The whole environment, it's like a happy environment. But as I said, it didn't make that much money. So eventually I had to start be a programmer, and I became a director, and then become a CEO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually I sold my company. And then when you have the opportunity in your life here, you can do whatever you like. You got a bit of money. So it was maybe written in the stars here that we had to open a Spanish wine bar for our two loves, wine and Spain. And we had very strong feelings about the culture of this place here. It should be a happy place. It should be a place where you can just pop in. Sometimes you just get a glass of water and walk away. Sometimes you get a coffee and walk away. And sometimes you get three bottles of wine with your friends. But the whole concept that it becomes sort of a meeting hub in the area and you could have a good conversation about everything. Xavier obviously know what sobremesa means here, but it means over the table, which is like a sorting out the world, your friends and family, over a glass of wine and a little bite to eat here. And one of the difficult things we had to do, because we were not particularly the best Spanish chefs in the world, so we knew about tapas, we knew about Spanish food, and but we had to learn it from the start, yeah, and make sure we made it authentic. And one of the things that was important for us that all the food we use is imported from Spain, although the bread is from Sainsbury's. But everything has to be authentic, yeah. So all the cheese is imported from Spain, all the meat is imported from Spain, yeah. The beer, we got a salt beer and cider imported from Spain as well, yeah. And obviously the wine imported from Spain. And then the other part of it that was very important for us was that if people were interested, yeah, we could tell them about the wine. Or if they tell us what they liked, we could recommend something. And that has worked extremely well as well. Yeah. So people, some of the wine we like become the customer's favorite as well. And we made a clear concept from day one. Yeah. If you don't like the wine, we won't stop it. We have to like the wine ourselves. But there has to be different kind of flavors. Yeah. So some people like medium wines. Some people like strong wines or dry wine, and crisp wines, or somebody like oak barrel wine like the Rioja. But there has to be the different kind of flavors you can match whatever people want to do. Yeah. And then at the course, you have ever tried something like this and then try something unique. And then hopefully over a little bite to eat. Yeah. So the whole concept, yes, no, I didn't think as we're doing this today, but at the moment, I love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Carson. Thanks for sharing that. What are some of the challenges you had to overcome in your journey to have what you've got today?
There were, UK legislation, yes. There are certain things you have to have in place to be able to run a bar, yes. So there's all the things you got to get a license, we had to do some exams. There's obviously health and safety when you deal with food, yeah, which you've got to make sure you do right, yeah, and you really have to adhere to it. There's things that come out of the woodwork which you didn't think about. So for instance, we play music. Funny enough, Spanish music, but we had to have a license here, which we forgot about, but we sorted that out now. So there's all these, the whole legislation around it here, and there's opening times and what you can serve, etc., etc. There's things like street license, so you can let people sit outside here. And then in all my life, you had to look after the money somehow here. And I always driven every business I've done in my life by cash flow. But because we were successful from day one, yeah, cash was never a problem, yeah. But my most important learning in all my life is, yeah, it doesn't matter how much profit you make if you don't have any cash. So always look after the cash when you own a business. And then the other thing which comes in phases, yeah, you sort of have to reinvent yourself all the time, yeah, to make it exciting. So so I gave an example here. Yeah, we do Spanish lessons. We didn't used to do that yet, but we do that, and that's been quite successful. We introduced something called Little Friday, because where I'm from in Denmark, we're not allowed to drink on normal weekdays. So to be allowed to drink on a Thursday, we had to rename it Little Friday. That's been successful. People now come from the food, which was our most nervous point here, because we're not chef by definition. But we now really, or we think we have, made the food really authentic Spanish here. Yeah. So for instance, like we make the sauces ourselves here to make sure they're exactly as they do them in Spain. Yeah. Everything's imported from Spain. And that give that authentic feeling of a bite to eat here. Yeah. So we obviously serve tapas, we serve big charcuterie boards, and the whole roaster, yeah. And we try to make Spanish desserts as well. Even things like bocarones, yeah. Which is, people love, yeah, people love it. Yeah, it's a and people, Spanish food, yeah, is a learning curve, yeah, but it's amazing to see how adventurous people be. Yeah, so the first time they start a bocaron, it's a no, but they'll try it and they actually like it,
yes,
and you know, you feel like conversion,
yeah.
So it is at the moment living the dream, and of course, we have thought about this is going rather well. Should we just duplicate it and open 500 more? Yeah. But for the time being, it's about this is what we enjoy.
Yes.
This is what we love. And yes. It looks like the customers loves it as well.
Yes. I've got a friend who runs a Malaga tapas in Glasgow. It's called Malaga,
oh, really?
Glasgow. And they started some 10 years ago, and then they branched off, and now they have three Malaga tapas restaurants in Glasgow. So what are you, planning to, I mean, if this works so well and you love
it? We talked about it. It's funny you should touch on that, because we have talked about it, yeah. Because the concept seems to be good, yeah. We have streamlined it, so most of it can work like clockwork, yeah. One of the concerns we have is that with anything in the hospitality sector, yeah, what makes the place is the people in the place, yeah. And I'm sure your friend has discovered something self here. Yeah. The place where he is overseeing, yeah, will always do well, because he's there. If you have to allow somebody else to do the same thing, yeah, it can sometimes be difficult to find the people that think and dream the same way you do, yeah, or have the same perspective to service, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But that's one of the big challenges if you want to be a chain. And then on a personal point of view, yeah, is that the when you see the big change, yeah, they all lost a little bit of the personality, which I don't want to do that. With your friend who's got three, yeah, then he can probably still keep maintain his mentality or
yes,
the way what he saw the way it should be developed. Yeah,
that Carson, that's an interesting point. And what I'm hearing is I cannot replicate myself and my wife what we contribute because we own it. If we franchise it, are we going to give the client, the customer, the same experience?
Exactly.
Right? And well, I cannot think about the McDonald's case. You know, they've managed putting the processes in place. Everybody gets the same experience when they go to McDonald's. And before the interview, we were talking about people, right? And I put this book, instant team building, very thin.
You promised to send the details,
definitely.
I will read that.
Definitely. So this happens a lot with we all entrepreneurs, business owners, thinking, how am I going to do it? We find the problems before we start, which sometimes we don't go for it because we think more of the problems than what we want. So, it's...
I mean, that's a sharp observation, yeah. And you know, it could have been slightly different, yeah, where because when we sold the company, yeah, we got sort of financial security, yeah. But there's still this driving force that you want to do something. And as you said, the next logical step would probably be to do a franchise or maybe just open another one to see how it pans out, yeah. And funny enough, we got people who wanted to open one in Yesman and in Gosforth and in Gateshead. So the local interest seemed to be there for it being successful. And it might come on the agenda again shortly, yeah, when you change and suddenly now this is running like clockwork and you need some more pressure or you need some more ambition, for a better word, but the important part for both of us is that we still enjoy it, yeah. It has to be fun. And it is a luxury nowadays, yeah, because a lot of people have to work for a salary to keep alive, yeah. And I'm sitting here, I want to work where it's fun. But the luckily, I'm in that position, yeah, which makes life a little bit easier. But hopefully we can give that joy to the people that work for us, yeah. So for instance, yeah, when we work ourselves, yeah, that we make sure that all the staff get all the tips, yeah. We never take tips ourselves, yeah. And, you know, that doubles the salary in many cases, yeah. We make sure that, and I know it's a bit pathetic, yeah, but we make sure we pay the living salary wages, yeah, so they get at least a little bit more. We make sure we run everything by the book, yeah, so they guarantee the holiday pay and all those kind of things, yeah. So a lot of things you see that's a problem in the hospitality sector, we try to diverse from. We try to learn them about wine, yeah. We try to support them. A lot of them are students, yeah, but we give them fantastic references, yeah. We try to give them the ability to learn. And you'll be surprised nowadays, yeah. You get people who don't know what a corkscrew is. Sometimes down that level, yeah. But if it's the right person, and if the right person can smile, they can learn everything.
Yeah.
And we're lucky in that respect at the moment, yeah.
Okay, well, in this book, one of the things it talks about is What is the most important attribute when you recruit somebody?
It's hands down, it. They have to fit in. I don't care about the skill set.
Yeah, correct.
I don't care about the qualifications.
You're saying attitude, having the right attitude.
Yeah. And have a smiley personality.
That's part of attitude. So what he says is recruit attitude, train skill.
I couldn't agree more. That's been guided through my whole life here.
Let me ask you a challenging question or a tough question.
Okay.
Now, Carson, what you do for your clients, you are bringing them happiness. You are bringing them what I said, what we discussed before, bringing heaven to earth for half an hour, 90 minutes, an oasis, in your own words, an oasis. So what you are doing is doing a lot of good to your customers. My question is, would you trade off a little bit your comfort of just running the one restaurant, the one bar, because it's nice and manageable? I said, well, if I say franchised it and had X number of, how many people could I make happy? To how many people could I bring this oasis in their lives? Because out there is pretty tough. So would you trade a little bit of comfort for reaching out to more people? And that's what you said before, which is bringing emotion to your business goal. Why do you want to achieve that goal? Well, your why is emotional, is to make people happy, is to bring that oasis to all these people who need a bit of an oasis. And that makes it worthwhile, which is what we discussed earlier.
It is, I mean, it's obviously something we considered quite quickly. And the first conclusion was, no, we don't want to stress about it there. And then somehow, you're always thinking back of your mind, this concept works here. And you, to use your words here, you can create happiness around the world here. And that's a good concept here. And we even some thought had, okay, fine. What about if you've got somebody working in the bar now, who's got the concepts, and we make them a manager of the next place? At least it won't be a franchise yet, because we've got some sort of control here. And just give them, of course, we work with them for in the current place here. We know that they will think in the way we do here. And we'll just give them a good salary and half the profit here. So they're well off here. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen here. It is probably the way I always want to do more and more. But at the same time, I do really appreciate that Monday, Tuesday, I can read a book, I can go for a run, I can go for a bike ride, I can go to the cinema and blah, blah, blah. And I love working by definition. Yeah. So I'm not saying it's not going to happen. Yet. And I'm not saying that it might happen next week, because the world is a short period. But at the moment, we decide not to do it. But it's always ticking in the back of your head. Is there onto something here?
We are going to follow up this conversation after the interview, because I would love to help you. And it's not incompatible to build a business that can run without you. Build a business that can run without you. And I said to you before the interview, my dad was an entrepreneur, and he sold the business when he was 70, when he realized I wasn't coming back to Spain to take on the business. And after 25 years of waiting, he sold the business and he phoned me, Javier, today is the first day in my life I don't have butterflies in my stomach. And then I thought, why running a business has to feel like that? And that's why I went into business coaching from corporate. I moved into business coaching 5 years ago to help business owners run a business that gives them life, not drain life out of them, and build businesses that can run without them.
But it's always a fine balance, isn't it?
You choose that. You choose.
You have to be involved.
You choose that. Brilliant, Carson. You got me excited. One final question. What advice would you give to your 18-year-old self?
To always pursue the things you like. This concept of pursuing a position because you got a lot of money, yeah, never works. So whatever you love to do, yeah, pursue that with your whole heart, yeah. And somehow, if you do that, yeah, then you get fulfillment in life, yeah. And as Javi will probably agree, yeah, whatever that might be, if it's cleaning the streets or whatever it might be, there's probably a business opportunity in there as well, which you can pursue later in life. Happiness, and particularly with this new concept of millenniums, et cetera, it's important. The best advice I can give, you've got to pursue what you like. Don't pursue the money, because that will make you happier and probably just as rich in the long term.
Yes. That's, you just reminded me of the book, Start With Why, that we talked about it, you know, by Simon Sinek. I was just reaching out to the book a second ago, Start With by Simon Sinek. And your why, you know, is it to make people happy? So how are you going to do it? Through wine bars? You know, the what will be the experience, really? Remember, so anyway, it's a lot of mileage there. And I think we touched upon a good point, because there are many business owners like yourself who don't want to grow the business because they think it's going to be headaches. It's going to be butterflies in our stomach. And I'm very happy this interview took that tangent, because, you know, there are ways to build a business that gives you life rather than the other way around. So very, very happy to have discussed that with you.
I think we should have another chit chat, Xavier.
We'll do. Finally, do you have any offers or promotions or news you want to share with people watching this recording that obviously live near where your bar?
The main thing is we got Valentine's Day coming up, and as always, we'll do something special. Yeah, there's a little present for everybody who booked a table on that night. And we got an offer of similar to last year, where we get a big charcuterie board and a bottle of Reserva Cava and a few other good surprises on the night here, and it's all for £50.
Brilliant. So if you are local, there you go. Of your
And we'd love to see you. And the advertisement will be up shortly, by the way.
Great. Well, Carson, what can I say? It's been a real pleasure having you today join us at Business Spotlight Series, and for sharing your experience, wisdom, and candor today with us. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. And it was my luck. It was a Spanish person sitting in the next chair. Thanks, Jeremy.